If you would like to turn with me to John 11. John chapter 11. I have something very specific that I would like for us to look at. I believe and I pray I have a true message from our Lord. I believe I do. And I pray that this message will reach those of us who have heard His voice before. And I pray this message will reach a sinner or sinners who have never heard His voice before. If our Lord is willing, I pray He will speak to us. I'm going to take a few minutes to set up everything, and then we'll get to the heart of the message. This chapter begins with the story of Lazarus, a man whom the Lord loved, who became sick and died. And after laying in the grave for 4 days, the Lord raised him from the dead. Our Lord cried, "Lazarus, come forth." Verse 44 says, "And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound about with a napkin. Jesus saith unto them, Loose him and let him go." Now that's wonderful. That is wonderful. That is a picture of salvation. That's what it is. That is a perfect, perfect picture of salvation. That's what every story in the Scripture is. Every story. From children, we learn these stories in the Old Testament. We learn all these stories in the Bible. And then our hope and prayer is that God will one day come to us and speak to us and reveal to us the meaning of every story. Every single story is an illustration of the truth. It's an illustration of the reality of how God saves sinners. Every story. This actual story of Lazarus, it's a spiritual picture of how God, the Lord God, comes to a man who is dead in and dead because of his sin. And without any effort on the dead man's part. I want us to really see that. Without any effort at all on the dead man's part, God gives life to that man. God does. God calls that man to himself. And he sets that man free from everything that has bound him to the grave. That's how salvation takes place. That's what happens in salvation. God does the work. God comes to a man. God calls the man. That's the whole point of the story. That's what everything is pointing us to. How God saves sinners. It's a work that God does without any effort on the part of the sinner. We clearly see that by the condition that Lazarus is in. What was his condition? He was dead. He was dead. He was dead. In this great event of him being raised from the grave, what could Lazarus have possibly done to help out in that event? What could he have possibly done? What could Lazarus have possibly contributed? What effort could he have possibly made? He was dead. He was dead. He was so dead, he stank. He stank. Our Lord, in such wisdom, left him alone, left him there for 4 days to the point that no one could say, well, maybe he was just sleeping. Maybe he was in a coma and he came out of it. He stank. He was dead. He was a repulsive sight. He was a repulsive smell. They did not want our Lord to open that grave. He was dead. He could not cry out. He could not cry out. He could not move a muscle of in any way, of any kind. He couldn't move one muscle. He could not make a decision. Our Lord didn't say, "Lazarus, make a decision." He couldn't do anything. He could not do anything. He was dead. He was dead. That is man's condition in his flesh before God. That's man's condition. Man is dead. Man is dead. When I say man, I'm talking about man, woman, boy, girl. I'm talking about you. I'm talking about me. Man, all of us in our flesh, in this world, as God sees us when He looks at us right now, God is looking at us right now. Right now. God's looking at us right now. He's looking at our mind. He's looking at our thoughts, looking at our heart, looking at our actions. He's looking at us right now. And as He sees us, as He looks at us right now, we are all in the flesh of our humanity dead before Him. You know what He sees as He looks at us right now? In our flesh, in our humanity, death. Dead. That's what He sees when He looks at us, because that's what we are. We're dead before Him. Let's see that in the Word. Turn with me over to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians 2 verse 1 says, "And you hath He quickened, who were dead." Dead in trespasses and sins. That's how mankind starts out. That's how we all come forth from our mother's womb. That's how we all come forth. Spiritually dead. Spiritually dead. We were all born spiritually dead. Verse 2 says, "Wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world." There is a physical, animated life that all of us are born into. There is a physical life that all men and women are born into. But there is no spiritual life before God. None. None. There is no spiritual life before God. And this is the reason why. Psalm 51 verse 5 says, "We are all conceived in sin." We're conceived in sin. The moment that Adam and Eve sinned against God, the moment that they sinned and became sinners, from that moment on, sinners have produced sinners. Adam was a sinner. Eve was a sinner. They had Cain. Cain was a sinner. And so on and so forth. A horse produces a horse. A bird produces a bird. A sinner produces a sinner. It's always been that way. Many people believe that we start out sinless. Many people believe that. They believe we come into the world sinless, and they believe the whole goal of life is to stay that way. You start out sinless, and you do everything you can to try to stay that way. That's not so. Psalm 58 verse 3 says, "We come forth from our mother's womb speaking lies." That's how we come forth. Do you believe there's ever been one parent on planet Earth, one parent that has ever set their child down and said, "Now, honey, I'm going to take this moment to teach you how to lie. I know you've been perfect up to this point, but it's time that you know how to lie." Absolutely not. That comes natural to a child. A child naturally knows exactly how to lie. Why is that? The child was conceived in sin. It's what we all are. It is the result of our sin. Lies. Sin against God in every way, shape, and form. What does sin bring? What is the end result of sin? The wages of sin. Death. Spiritual death. The wages of sin is death. Romans 5 verse 12, it says, by one man sin entered the world and death by sin. That's the whole reason death came. It's because of sin. In Adam all die, the scripture says. And it's because all have been infected with sin. Ephesians 2 verse 4, it says, but God. That's the wonderful news of the gospel. But God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead in sin. Dead in sins. He quickened us together with Christ. This right here is salvation. God the Father sent Christ to us. Just like Christ came and quickened. Just like He came and gave life to Lazarus. This story of Lazarus is such a perfect picture. Our Lord came. The Lord Jesus Christ comes to all of His people. You think about that story and you think, how wonderful. How amazing. I wonder what that must have been like for Him. He was dead and made to be alive. Well, all of God's people will experience that. All of God's people will go from dead, spiritual death, nothing, to spiritual life, spiritual understanding. Our Lord comes to all of His people and quickens them to spiritual life. Verse 5 says, by grace you are saved. That means by the work of Christ, by the gift of Christ coming and freely bringing salvation. Grace means free gift. Freely bestowed kindness. By grace you are saved. Verse 6 says, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Jesus Christ. He has raised us up and made us sit. And that's wonderful news. He did that to us. He did that for us. And He did it in full. When He raises a sinner up, that sinner is raised up. And when He makes a sinner sit, that sinner is seated. When He said, Lazarus, come forth, he that was dead came forth. That's what happened. Verse 5 says, even when we were dead in sins, He hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace you are saved, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come He might show the exceeding riches of His grace in His kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. What is the exceeding riches of His grace in His kindness toward us through Christ Jesus? He's about to tell us. Verse 8 says, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. It's the gift of God. Do you think that Lazarus could say that anything that happened to him, anything in that whole event that happened to him, any part of it was of his doing? Do you think Lazarus would have said that? Absolutely not. There was no doubt in his mind. There was no doubt in everybody's mind. Every person who was standing there watching that, there was no doubt it was the gift of God. It was of the Lord totally. Verse 9 says, not of works, lest any man should boast. A man who wants to boast about everything he's going to do for God, That's a man who is evidencing his spiritual deadness. What can a dead man do? What can a dead man do? A man who has been made spiritually alive, he will see that. He'll know that. He'll know that so. He'll know it so. So verse 8 says, "By grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship." That's what Lazarus was. He was Christ's workmanship. "We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." Everything that God does has been before ordained. Everything. "Known unto God were all his works from the beginning." Everything that he has ever done and will ever do, he knew every bit of it from the beginning. Everything was purposed before the foundation of the world. The most glorious work of all being this right here. Verse 11. "Wherefore remember that you being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands, that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ, redeemed from sin, drawn close to God by the blood of Christ." That's exactly what our Lord pictured with Lazarus. He was redeemed from death, and he was drawn nigh to God. Our Lord said, "Lazarus, come." What wonderful words. What beautiful words. "Lazarus, come." And he came. Verse 13 says, "But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace, and that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby." Why was Lazarus allowed to come out of that grave? Why was he allowed to come out of that grave? He was a sinner. What are the wages of sin? Death. That's what he was owed. That's what he deserved. Why was he allowed to come out? This is the reason why. It's because Christ went in his place. Christ went in his stead, in his place. It's because Christ made himself to be Lazarus's substitute. Lazarus was made alive because Christ died in his place, died for him. The wages of sin is death. Sin is what bound Lazarus to the grave. That's what put him in the grave. That's what kept him in the grave. But Lazarus was set free from the bondage of sin because Christ made himself to be sin for Lazarus in his place. The Lord cried concerning Lazarus, he cried, "Loose him and let him go." And it's all because he cried to his Father, "Bind me and send me to the grave." That's the entire reason. Verse 16, it says, "That he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby." He reconciled us to God in one body, his body. by the cross, completely slaying the sin, the enmity, the enemy, the rebellion. Completely slayed it all. Verse 17, and he came and preached peace to you, which were afar off, and to them that were nigh. For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. That's the quickening of spiritual life through the gift of the sacrifice of Christ. Now, here is the heart of the message. Here is the heart of the message. With all of that being set up and all of that being understood, here's the heart of the message. I pray that if we've ever seen and heard this, we might hear it again right now. I pray if there is a sinner that has never heard this, he might hear it right now. She might hear it right now. Go with me back to John 11. John 11, verse 43. This is our Lord speaking. When he had thus spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. Now this is the message. This right here is the message. Lazarus, come forth. Come forth. This is the message to me. This is the message to you. This is the message to all of God's people. The message is, sinner, sinner, dead, decayed, stinking, vile sinner, come forth. Come forth. Oh, the glorious message of God to His people. Our Lord uses His word to call His people. He does not use men. He does not use might. He does not use power, meaning man's might and man's power. He does not use a man's voice. He does not use a man's intellect. He does not use a man's wisdom. He uses His word and He uses His own Spirit. And God Himself, Christ Himself, comes to His people and He says, come forth. Sinner, come forth. Hear the word of the Lord. If the Lord is speaking through His word, hear the word of the Lord. Hear and your soul shall live. If God's Spirit has given you and given me, given us, if He has given us ears to hear the Master's voice, do you hear the Master's voice calling dead sinners to life? If He's given ears to hear the Master's voice, if God's Spirit has given you faith in Him, if He's caused you to believe with all your heart that you are dead before God, do you believe that in your flesh, if He does not come to you and call you, you will remain there dead in your flesh, spiritually dead? Do you believe that? If He has caused you to believe that all power over all flesh to give life to as many as the Father has given Him is in His hands, it's in His command. If the Spirit has spoken this peace to your heart, if the Spirit has come and whispered to your heart, this is life eternal, that you might know Him, that you might have Him. He that hath the Son hath life. If the Spirit has taken the things of Christ and revealed them unto you, called you to them, if the Spirit has called you to them, then come forth. Come forth. And I'm glad I'm speaking through a camera right now. Don't move a muscle. You couldn't come to me or come to where I'm preaching if you wanted to. Don't move a muscle. Come forth. Come forth. Let's read John 5, verse 25 together. John 5, verse 25, it says, verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming and now is. I pray it now is. when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. If you hear His voice, say, dead sinner. If you hear it, dead sinner. Oh, ye dry dead bones. If God's Spirit has convinced you, that's what I am. I'm a dead dry bone. I'm a sinner. If you hear sinner, come to me. If you are a dead man who hears the voice of the Son of God, go to Him. Go to Him. Don't come to me. Go to Him. In your heart, go to Him. Go to Him. Go running to Him. Right here in John 5, verse 40, it says, "You will not come to me, not in yourself, you're dead." John 6, verse 44 says, "You cannot come, not of yourself, you're dead." But it says, if the Father draws you to Christ, you'll come. If God draws you, if the Father draws you to Christ, you'll come. John 6, verse 37 says, "All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. And him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out." If the Spirit of God has quickened you to Christ and shown you the object of Christ, the object of Christ, not the law, not my works, not anything else, Christ, come to Him. Come to Him. Come just like Lazarus did. Come just like Lazarus did. Come crying, "I can't see anything. My head is bound. I'm completely bound. I can't see anything of my own. I can't hear anything of my own. I can't know anything of my own. I can't say anything of my own." Come to Him with your hands bound, saying, "I can't do anything of my own." Come to Him with your feet bound, saying, "I can't even come to You except You draw me. My feet are bound. If You don't draw me, I can't even come to You." Come crying, "I'm a helpless, ruined, miserable sinner. That's what I am. But I've heard Your voice. I've heard Your voice say, come. So I'm coming. Out of my bondage, sorrow, and night, into Thy freedom, gladness, and light. Out of my sickness, into Thy health. Out of my want, and into Your wealth. Out of my sin, and into Thyself, Lord Jesus, I come to Thee. Out of my shameful failure and loss, into the glorious gain of Thy cross. Out of the depths of ruin untold, into the peace of Thy sheltering fold. Ever Thy glorious face to behold, Lord Jesus, I come to Thee." Come to Christ just like that. Just like that. And this is what you will hear when you get to Him. You come to Christ just like that. And this is what you'll hear when you get to Him. You'll hear these words: "Loose him and let him go." He said, "I'm come that they might have life, that they might have it more abundantly." Every soul that the Father draws to Christ will have it. Every soul will have it. If the Lord has quickened you, if the Lord has drawn you, if the Lord has spoken peace to you, come to Him. Come to Him. This is my prayer. My prayer is that God will give us a heart right now to say, "Lord Jesus, I come to Thee. I come to You. I come to You. You're my life. You're my all. You're everything I have. Come to me and draw me closer to You." If you do that, Lord, I come, I kneel, I come to You. I pray the Lord will make it so.